So I scratched my head, as I told you earlier, to try to figure out how God got here. And I came to the conclusion that he's always been here. There's never been a time when he was not here. As a matter of fact, let me get a little scientific on you, and I'm going to make it real simple. I'm going to get scientific, but I'm going to make it simple. He is the uncaused first cause of everything. What are you saying, Pastor Glaze? That means that God got here without a cause. Nobody caused God to happen. God just was here. He just existed. But yet and still, he's what? He's the first cause of everything else. If you look around, all these things got here because God put them here in some shape or form.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of El Olam, the Eternal God, from our series, The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of El Olam, the Eternal God.
Good morning, saints. As we come today, I think about a song that I like to use to introduce our message today. Many of you may have heard this song. Some of you, you know, if you're old school, I'm sure you heard of it. If you're not, then I'll try to explain it to you. But there was a guy and his girlfriend, and they were breaking up. And as they broke up, one of the things that the guy said to the young lady is he said, "I'll always be around." He said, given the fact that we are breaking up, that we're not going to be a couple no more, I just want to let you know, whenever you call me, I'll be there. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. Whenever you want me, I'll be there. I'll be around. And you know, that's a high and lofty promise that this guy was making. But you know, the problem with what he was saying was the fact that one day he was going to leave this earth. One day he was going to close his eyes in death. And so that promise that he made would be null and void. I want to tell you this morning about a God who said, "Whenever you need me, I'll be there. Whenever you want me, I'll be there. Whenever you call me, I'll be there. I'll be around." Today we're talking and continuing on with the El names of God. And today we're going to talk about El Olam, the God, the everlasting God. You see, the guy in the song, he made a promise. And I'm sure that in the moment, the promise was sincere. But he wasn't always going to be around to fulfill that promise. We're talking about the God of eternity this morning that will always be around to fulfill each and every promise that he makes. Before we continue in the message today, I want to share a song with you. And the name of the song goes right along with the title of the message today, The Everlasting God. The Everlasting God. The Everlasting God. I love that song because, you know, it talks about God, and it says that you are the everlasting God. You don't faint and you don't grow weary, that you are the everlasting God. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up like wings on an eagle. You are the everlasting God. El Olam, the everlasting God. You remember we talked about this word El. Now we went over all the Yahweh names of God back in 2020. So we've started talking about the El names of God. And so the El names of God deal with the power of God. That word El, it actually refers to mighty, power, strength. And so when we take that word El, and we couple it with other words, it talks about the power of God. So far, we've looked at El Elyon, the Most High God. Last week, we looked at El Shaddai, the Almighty, the All-Sufficient God. Today, we are looking at El Olam, the Everlasting God. We're going to look at El Ohim, the All-Powerful God, and El Roy, the God who sees me. Now, when we look at the word Olam, again, we've taken that L word, right? The L word, E-L, the power, the might of God. We've taken that word and we've coupled it with another word, which is Olam. Now, what does Olam mean? Well, actually, Olam means that which is hidden, concealed, or unknown. That which is hidden, concealed, or unknown. So that might be a little confusing, right? When we think of, well, how can that connect with the name of God? Well, when we look at this word, Olam, it deals with something that is hidden to the human mind. Something that is concealed. Like we can't begin to think about the fact that God is everlasting. That blows our minds to even try to wrap our head around the fact that God is everlasting. And so it's actually hidden from our understanding. We can never understand that. We can never grasp that. That is actually concealed from us being able to understand the totality of what that means. Let me explain to you, maybe this will help you out. I remember one night I was lying in bed and I began to think, where did God come from? Right? And I said, well, who put God here? And I came up with the answer. I came up with the answer of who put God here. I said there was another God who put God here. But then I compounded my problem because now I had to answer the question, where did that God come from? Right? So I began to say, well, another God put that God here. And you know, that thing just began to mushroom. And actually, you know, I kept going back that there must have been a God who put that God here. And finally, I think I almost went crazy that night trying to figure out how God got here. And I came to the conclusion that he's always been here. Right? He's always been here. And why do we know that? Because he's what? El Olam, the God, the everlasting God. That there has never been a time when God was not. That he existed in eternity past, he will continue to exist in eternity future. Now, we often use the phrase the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, I know that those are biblical terms because we read them throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation. We read about the Alpha and Omega. It says, you know, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And you know what? I don't question Scripture. I accept Scripture by faith. But I began to think and say, well, I got a little issue with that, because if we say that he's the Alpha, then that means that he started somewhere, right? If we say that he's the Omega, that means that he ends somewhere. You know, the word Alpha was the first letter in the Greek alphabet. The word Omega was the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So in essence, and so I when we look at that, you know, I take it that Scripture is looking and using that as a hyperbole. And so, you know, what is a hyperbole? You know, that's where we, you know, kind of exaggerate or under exaggerate the whole idea. And so, you know, they've used this phrase alpha and omega, you know, to represent, you know, the beginning and the end. But yet and still, God had no beginning. He had no beginning. He has no ending. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. We serve El Olam. And as we go through the message a little bit later, I'm going to tell you specifically what that means to us. You know, it's one thing to know that he's El Olam, but what I want to know is, what does that mean to me? How does that affect my life? How does that make my living better? How am I strengthened in this walk that I have with God when I understand who he is, El Olam? Well, God created time, yet he exists outside of time. He created time, but he exists outside of time. Listen to Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are El Olam. You are, that's what it says in there. Now we know that it says you are God, but what name is represented there? The name that's represented is El Olam. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. You have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting, from eternity to eternity, you are El Olam. I like what Warren Wiersbe says about Psalm 90 in verse 12. Warren Wiersbe was one of the great Bible teachers in this country. For years, he was on Back to the Bible, and he came on every night, Monday through Friday, and he would exegete scripture. So he was a great Bible expositor, a great Bible teacher. Warren Wiersbe says this: first, there were sundials. Then came water clocks, hourglasses, mechanical clocks. Now we have digital clocks and watches that split time into hundreds of seconds. Our culture certainly is concerned with time. Just think about it. You know, we praise God, we have some saints that have come today to be a part of this taping and to hear the word of God. And, you know, they were told to come at 4 o'clock. Right. And so when you think about that, time is very important, that, you know, you're going to meet somebody tomorrow at time. So we as individuals, that we put a lot of emphasis on time. The psalmist said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God knows no time. You know, God doesn't look at his watch and say, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to do this. You know, God doesn't say, tomorrow at 12, I'm going to do this. God does not operate in time. You know, I think of Jesus Christ, right? Here, Jesus Christ, you know, he was in eternity past. He existed in eternity past. He's going to exist in eternity future. And so here he has this eternal existence, and he was called on to come, be born, to live his life, and die on a cross, and then go back to heaven. What did Jesus do? Jesus was in eternity, right? And he stepped out of eternity and did what? Stepped into time. Yeah. He stepped into time. He lived in time. He did what he was supposed to do. And then when he ascended back into heaven, he stepped out of time and he stepped back into eternity. The everlasting God. And so God, who is the creator of time, is not restricted by the time that he created. That God has always been. So I scratched my head, as I told you earlier, to try to figure out how God got here. And I came to the conclusion that he's always been here. There's never been a time when he was not here. As a matter of fact, let me get a little scientific on you, and I'm going to make it real simple. I'm going to get scientific, but I'm going to make it simple. He is the uncaused first cause of everything. What are you saying, Pastor Glaze? That means that God got here without a cause. Nobody caused God to happen. God just was here. He just existed. But yet and still, he's what? He's the first cause of everything else. If you look around, all these things got here because God put them here in some shape or form. So even though he's uncaused, even though there was nothing that caused him to come into existence, that he always was, yet and still, he is the first cause of everything else. When you think about evolution, evolution says that we all originated out of a pool of slime. But my question is, and I don't believe in evolution, but my question is, if there was a pool of slime that the evolutionists said that we came out of, y'all know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. Who put the pool of slime here? How did the pool of slime get here? I tell the story often about some evolutionists who challenged God to a contest. And they said, let's see who can make the best man. And so God started. And God reached down into the earth and he created a man out of the dust of the earth. And then God blew the breath of life into this man. And the man began to live. The man stood up. The man began to walk around. And the man began to enjoy life. And the evolutionist said, oh, that's pretty good. But let us go to work. And so they reached down into the dirt, and God said, ho, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. get your own dirt, right? But see, God is the one who put the dirt here, right? He's the uncaused, first cause of everything, because he is El Olam. When you think about El Olam, he knows everything from the beginning to the end, that he's always been around. He knew when we would have a problem. This God who has always been around, he knew back in eternity past when your problem was going to come. And when your problem came, it didn't take God by surprise, that God was not up in heaven saying, oh my. Oh my, I didn't see this coming. He wasn't taken off guard. When your problem came, he wasn't up there scratching his head. God knew in eternity, wow, man. He knew in eternity past. And when was that? Again, the word olam means hidden, right? It means that it's hidden from our understanding, that we can't understand eternity. There's no, you can't begin to grasp eternity with your mind. And so way back then, whenever that was, He knew that your problem was coming. He knew that you were going to be having to deal with something that sometimes just upsets our whole life, that disrupts our whole being. And it didn't take him by surprise. And so for me, when problems come my way, the first thing I should say, El Olam knew about this a long time ago. And this, you know, it's not taking him by surprise, and therefore, I'm going to hold to God, his powerful hand. I'm going to let him take me through this time, because he was well aware of this situation before I was. He was well aware of your problem before you were even born. Can you think about that? Wow, before you were born, God knew when all your problems were going to happen. I tell you what, when I think about El Olam, the everlasting God, that encourages my faith. That strengthens my faith in the everlasting God, realizing that he knows all about me. He knows my life from the beginning to the end. He knows my life from the time that I was born until the time that I die and how I will exist throughout eternity. What a mighty God we served. You know what? He knows how our problems are going to end. He knows how our problems are going to end. They asked somebody, "What's your favorite verse?" And the person said, "It came to pass." And they said, "Well, why is that your favorite verse?" "Because, praise God, it didn't come to stay." Whatever you are going through, God knows how it's going to end. He's already seen how this thing is going to end. It's like being in a train station, right? Where you've got trains coming in and you've got trains going out. You got trains coming in from several directions, and you've got trains going out from several directions, right? And as if we were to stand on the deck and look at the train, we would just see it go by one car at a time. We would stand there and we would see the engine come by. We would see all the other cars come by, and we would see the caboose come by. We would just see these things one at a time as they went before our eyes. But there's a conductor who's sitting up in the booth, and he's able, whether it's physically or even on a computer, he's able to see all these things coming and going, right? He doesn't see it one car at a time. He gets the big picture. And so when we think about El Olam, God does not see one car of our life at a time. Whew. My. He doesn't see one car of our life passing at a time, but he sees the big picture. And he knows the plans that he has for our lives. And watch this now. And he knows how he's going to get us from the start.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of El Olam, the Eternal God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, El Olam, the Eternal God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request El Olam, the Eternal God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request El Olam, the Eternal God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.